This is Radio Superior 1942, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1942. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1942. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
Broadcasting from the land of beautiful lakes, folks, this is station KUWS calling. It's the last day of 1942, 6 o'clock standard wartime on this Thursday evening, New Year's Eve, 1942. And this is Jack McKenna speaking with newsman Lou Martin, and we're going to have a good old-fashioned toe-tapping time tonight, New Year's Eve, our salute to 1942. We have an hour-long special edition of the Martin and McKenna Show, friends. Hang on to your jitterbug, and we'll play the top songs of 1942, as selected by Braham's Music Center in downtown Superior, and we'll also have the goings-on around town to celebrate the incoming 1943, friends.
It'll be quite an evening, Jack. I've got the latest war news coming up, and we've got to get that to you, of course. But we'll take a look at the top stories of 1942 from the region. Remember the big Bayfield flood this summer, or the fires in Mellon. And my favorite, Harriet Fahrig, will be in with community happenings.
Harriet's always been your favorite. I should be jealous.
Because I'm favoring Harriet?
No, because you're not favoring me, old buddy. But hey, what a better way to kick off your New Year's Eve, good listeners, with your gang of friends here on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS. Now, Lou Martin has the Coolerator Refrigeration 6 o'clock news. Duluth-made Coolerator, which uses air circulation around the ice to keep all parts of the refrigerator ice-conditioned. Happy New Year, Lou.
And Happy New Year to you. Nice pointed hat you've got there, Jack. Happy New Year, good listeners. Leading our news this evening is a flash from Moscow over the Associated Press. A Soviet communique says the German army has been liquidated in Stalingrad. Quoting this flash, it says 95,000 Germans have been exterminated, 72,000 troops have been taken as prisoner of war. In the course of the battle, our troops have completely destroyed the 5th, 6th, 9th, 13th, 14th, and 15th Romanian infantry divisions. Well, this means that the Nazi stronghold on Stalingrad has been broken, a great victory for the Red Army, and one that is thought to have been impossible just a year ago when Russia seemed to be on the brink of defeat under the siege of the German army. And this bulletin, just handed to me from Washington, the United States Navy reports that American Air Forces battered Japanese installations and attempts to resupply troops at Guadalcanal and the Munda area of New Georgia. The battle for the New Guinea area may be over also. This is the place of the last Japanese offensive when they landed troops near Buna in July. United Press foreign correspondent Daryl Berrigan has been braving the jungle war. He sent us this report earlier today over shortwave wireless.
This is New Guinea calling. The end of the Japanese hold on the Buna sector of the Papuan Front is in sight, with enemy forces at Buna Government Station and Garapa Point separated by an American one beachhead, which has been widened to several hundred yards in recent days. The enemy now is contained in three minor sectors, each of which constantly is being reduced. These are, one, to the northwest of the old airstrip, where a tank-led attack pressed the Japs back toward the sea into an area roughly 300 yards deep and 650 yards wide. Two, a point already under attack from the west. Three, Buna Government Station, the point which has been snipped off from large reinforcement by an Allied line running from shore to shore, almost directly eastward. There have been reports that a few Japs in this sector have been trying to swim Garapa Point, thus making themselves targets for Allied rifle practice. While the land fighting continues, it's slow but inexorable progress. There are no details of the San Ananda's fighting. Allied air striking power against the Japanese main bases is constantly growing in strength. Rabwal, Gazmata, Lai, Salamua, and Cape Gloucester are among the points hit hard, and often by B-17s and B-24s in recent weeks, with resultant heavy destruction to enemy airdromes and shipping. Reporting from Buna, New Guinea, this is Daryl Barragan, calling North Africa, calling Allied headquarters in North Africa.
This is Tunisia calling. Tunisia here, Russell Lansford reporting from Allied headquarters in North Africa. United States airmen again blasted docks, railway yards, transports, troops, and tanks of the Axis Wednesday in a series of assaults from which two aircraft failed to return. Two groups of flying fortresses escorted by P-38 Lockheed Lightning fighters bombed the harbor works and freight yards in Sfax, eastern Tunisian ports. Large fires flamed within the yards, and there were numerous bomb bursts on the quay, returning pilots said. Another attack on the Sfax railroad yards was made by B-28 light bombers escorted by Lightning fighters. Considerable anti-aircraft fire was noted, but there was no challenge from enemy planes. All the Sfax raiders returned safely. This is Russell Landstrom reporting from Allied headquarters in North Africa.
The War Department has a new 5x5 building just completed. It has five sides, five stories high, and you guessed it, they called it the Pentagon. 20,000 people will be able to work in the Pentagon. Coolerator News Time is 6:05. Jack McKenna has a word from the Coolerator Company.
Thank you, Lou. Thank you very much. And thank you, Coolerator, for what you're doing for the war effort. What could a Coolerator do for the war effort? Funny you should ask. In 1943, more than ever before, the housewives of America will realize the necessity of keeping foods fresh and nourishing. To a nation at war, the prevention of food spoilage, especially in the days of stricter food rationing to come, will be doubly important. Proper refrigeration must be safeguarding our vital food supplies, and Coolerator offers the answer for today's food-keeping chores. Handsomely and modernly designed, this new Coolerator is made possible today because it is built almost entirely of materials not in demand for war work. Plenty of cracked or chipped ice, too, for cooling beverages or for salads and so forth. The Coolerator box, the ice-conditioned refrigerator, made by the Coolerator Company in West Duluth, Minnesota. Buy U.S. war bonds, too, we might remind you. I can't believe they finished the new War Department building, the Pentagon. And you say it's called Pentagon?
Right. It was supposed to take 7 years to build, but because of the war, they finished it in 14 months.
Holy smokes, that's incredible, Lou. I hope we always remember to be proud of that building and how it stands for the defense of America.
Well, I think it'll be around for a long time to come. Leading our local news on this New Year's Eve of 1942, what a year it's been at Superior Shipyards. Duluth and Superior Shipyards were busy building tugs, tankers, and other vessels to help the Yanks win the war in Europe and the Pacific. In less than a year, Walter Butler Shipyards launched 13 coastal cargo ships, with more being built, and a new contract just signed for even more. President Robert Butler says that they've gone from a handful of employees to 2,500 and plan to hire more to meet the new military orders. In fact, 1,000 more men and probably women will be hired in the next 90 days at Butler. The John Airy was the first vessel launched at the Butler shipyards. 10,000 people watched the Airy splashed sideways into the harbor. This year was highlighted by a double launching on Armistice Day when the Justin Doan and the Tully Crosby hit the water. Perhaps the most emotional ceremony was when the Anthony Enright was launched on December the 7th, a year after the sneak attack on Pearl Harbor. In just a year, a barren strip of land jutting into Superior Harbor has been transformed into the Globe Shipyards. Seven ships splashed into the water, beginning with the Point Sur on August the 9th. Globe President Victor Nelson was among several Superior businessmen who started Globe and obtained a government contract to build ocean tugs, playing a vital role in building the U.S. nation's victory fleet. Lake Superior Shipbuilding on the Hammett Avenue slip was the first to launch a vessel back on December the 20th of last year, less than 2 weeks after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. The tanker, the USS Bullwheel, slipped into the water with much fanfare, followed by the USS Casinghead 2 weeks later. The War Production Board reports that Superior and Duluth obtained $135 million in war jobs this year. $100 million of that built ships. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the rundown.
Well, an amazing amount of money has come to the head of the lakes for shipbuilding, but also for iron ore. The Iron Range and Michigan's Upper Peninsula have been critical for the war effort, with a record 92 million tons of iron ore moving through the Great Lakes in the 1942 season. That's 600,000 tons more than the War Production Board requested. War Production Board Regional Manager Arthur Newman says other area companies are going at full capacity to supply the war needs. The Barksdale Dynamite Facility in Bayfield County, Clyde Ironworks in Duluth's West End, Superior Iron Works and Benson Electric in Superior all have been helping out, and with new, larger shipbuilding contracts just awarded, 1943 will be an even busier year, Lou.
That's hard to imagine. We have a few end-of-the-year statistics to pass along to you good listeners. 1942 saw 499 traffic violations in the city of Superior. 141 of those were parking tickets, of which Jack McKenna had a good share.
Hey, I resemble that remark.
124 speeding tickets were issued. 64 drunk and driving citations were also handed out. All in all, it was a safer year on the road in Ashland County. Only 3 people were killed this year compared to 8 in 1941. It was even a healthier year in the city of Ashland. Health officer Charles Schrank says that there were 65 cases of contagious diseases that were reported. That's a lot better than the 100 cases in 1941. Schrank says there were 28 cases of scarlet fever, 19 chickenpox, 9 measles, a couple of whooping cough, and 4 tuberculosis cases. And here's something surprising, Jack and listeners. The number of marriages in Washburn County declined by one-third in 1942. County Clerk Ledwood Trammell says there were 62 marriage license applications this year compared to 83 last year. September was the busiest month with 10 licenses, while February was the slowest, with Dan Cupid's bow finding only 2 victims.
Victims? Yeah, sure. I didn't know Cupid had a first name. Dan, huh?
Always believe the newsman, Jack.
Whoever would have thought Lou Martin could be just a gigolo? Thanks, Lou. Boy, we have quite a show tonight. A special hour long with a look back on the news and music of 1942. What better way to start out New Year's Eve by cutting a rug with your best boy or girlfriend? Now let's take a look at our forecasts from the United States Weather Bureau for this December 31st, 1942. A little warmer tonight and tomorrow, but rather cloudy. Low tonight of 15 above and high January 1st of 26. Not bad for January, friends. Counting down our top 10 songs of 1942, as selected by the good folks at Brayman's Music in downtown Superior by the number of records they sold this year, we start you out with Alvino Ray and his orchestra. You know, not every radio station will play this song. It's kind of racy. But you asked for it, so you'll get the Strip Polka. Number 10 song of the year on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS.
There's a burlesque theater where the gang loves to go to see Queenie, the cutie of the burlesque show. And the thrill of the evening is when out Queenie skips and the band plays the polka while she strips.
Take it off! Take it off!
Cries a voice from the rear.
Take it off! Take it off!
Soon that's all you can hear.
Why, she's always a lady, even in pantomime. So she stops, and always just in time.
As the flowers in May, and she hopes to retire to the farm someday. But you can't buy a farm until you're up in the chips. So the band plays the polka while she strips. the customers shout.
Down in front, down in front.
While the band beats it out.
But she's always a lady, even in pantomime. So she stops, and always just in time.
Rips, and the band plays the polka while I strips.
Jump around, take it in, it's the best in the West.
Take it off, take it off.
You can yell with the rest.
Stick around when it's over. I'm a peach when I'm dressed, but I stop and always just in time.
Church bells will chime
in strip polka time. Hey!
Oh, yeah, that's a toe-tapping one right. For you folks of Polish persuasion, or even if you just envy the descendants of Poland, a good old polka is the 10th most popular song of 1942. That was Alvin O'Ray and the strip polka. Happy New Year to you from Russell Creamery Company. Great milk, butter, cream, and buttermilk, folks. Ooh, love that tasty buttermilk. And Russell's is donating a quart of milk every day for 2 weeks to the first baby born in Douglas County in 1943.
You know, that baby's going to make quite a haul. 23 local businesses are chipping in stuff. Hey, look at this list, Jack.
Wow. Chop suey at... I wanted to say Joy. Joy Ying Lo Chop House? The little tyke better order something soft.
Well, there are some things for the parents on that list, too, Jack.
I was wondering about that case of Northern Blue Label beer donated by Northern Brewery.
That'd be a good example of a gift for Dad.
Stick around, Lou. You've got a list of some of the top stories of 1942. Let's listen to this soon-to-be classic number by Duke Ellington and his orchestra. I Got It Bad, and That Ain't Good. The number 9 song of 1942. On the Martin and McKenna Show.
Thank you.
Duke Ellington and his great orchestra. I think I heard Johnny Hodges' great sax in there, too. And the number 9 song of the year, I Got It Bad, on station KUWS. Do they mean me? Oh, well. Best wishes to all from your local hardware store, Bingham Hardware. Val Wiesner and Alex Sproles hope you and yours have a safe and prosperous 1943. Bingham Hardware, conveniently located at 1009 Tower Avenue. Hey there, Lou.
Hey, Jack.
Did you see that the first baby of 1943 will get a jug of wine from Zenozowski and Sons?
Well, that would be for the father, Jack.
For diaper rash?
A diaper rash for a father?
Well, it'll help him sleep through anything.
One of the top stories of 1942 was that flash flood that hit Bayfield on July the 17th. Much property washed into Lake Superior. Fishing boats were swamped by the storm. And then fires broke out, destroying buildings in Bayfield. Total loss from the Bayfield flood of 42 is around $500,000. 7 men were hurt when a grain elevator in Superior blew up on January the 10th. The late fire chief, Ole Norman, had fits trying to extinguish that blaze. Since it kept on burning for more than 100 days, it caused $2.5 million in damage. In Ashland County and in Mellon, the Pinocchi veneer plant went up in smoke on August the 5th at a loss of $500,000. That Mellon plant was one of the largest makers of airplane veneer in the country.
Huh. I see Arco is sending the first baby some of its coffee. Coffee for a baby? Oh, well, that'll come in real handy, especially since coffee is being rationed. And after a night of diapers, oh, I see, the parents will need an eye-opener in the coffee.
You're still with the baby gifts, eh, Jack?
Sorry, good listeners. On with the music show now. The 8th most popular song in Upper Wisconsin in 1942. Kate Kaiser's from this past fall, Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition. On station KUWS, broadcasting from the land of beautiful lakes. Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammo. Yeah, lots of it. By Kate Kaiser and his orchestra on station KUWS. Look at this, Lou. This first baby of 1943 is going to get a bed lamp from Ross Electric. I didn't know they could read at that age. And lamp, regular lamp from Fairfax Kelly Furniture. I mean, how many lamps will this little one need? He probably can't read more than 3 or 4 pages.
Well, you know, when it comes to changing diapers, the more light, the better.
Huh, jeez. I don't think I'd want to spotlight that job.
Well, especially you, Jack. You know how you are with sharp objects. A safety pin could be lethal with you and a dimly lit crib.
Hmm. Any more top stories of 42, Lou?
Well, I think listeners will be relieved to change the topic. It was a strange political year in Wisconsin. Governor Julius Heil declared for a third term, but the Republican Party tried to get aging Lieutenant Governor Goodland to retire. He refused. He stayed on the Republican ticket with Governor Heil. Dr. W.C. Sullivan narrowly beat Gustav Keeler by just 200 votes to win the Democratic ticket. The three-way race with Orlin Loomis running on the Progressive ticket was nip and tuck, with Loomis winning by a nose and Lieutenant Governor Goodland reelected. He began a busy schedule preparing to take the governor's office, but the strain proved too much, and Governor-elect Loomis died earlier this month. Ironically, that made the 80-year-old Goodland the new governor-elect.
Huh. That was strange. I remember Nip and Tuck was a good dance team. Well, at least the music was great, friends. Here's Jimmy Dorsey and his orchestra and the Jersey Bounce, number 7 on our list of top songs of 1942 on the Martin and McKenna Show New Year's Eve hour-long special. Jimmy Dorsey and his orchestra, the Jersey Bounce, on station KUWS. Seventh most popular song of the year, and I can well imagine that.
If you don't have any more comments about the first baby gifts, I've got a few more top stories right here.
You should see all the furniture this little guy will be getting. A crib from Rudolph's Furniture, a baby nurseri chair from Lurie Furniture, a high chair from the Evening Telegram. High chair. Edelstein's Furniture will throw in another lamp. That's three lamps now. Boy, that place is going to be well lit. Grand Rapids House Furniture has a mirror for the new baby.
New parents can use things like that, Jack. The little ones need a lot of things. Can I do a top story now?
Sure, sure. This is one long list of stuff.
Well, August the 4th was a big day in Hurley, as its infamous Silver Street was raided by state beverage agents. 53 people were arrested, including many women, with charges ranging from liquor law violations, gambling, and prostitution.
Silver Street is still a popular spot for sailors, lumberjacks, and miners. Raid or no raid. Thanks, Lou. I know you've got more right after we hear the number 6 song of 1942. Freddie Martin and his orchestra and Tonight We Love on station KUWS. Tonight We Love. Oh, that's a good one, folks, and that's very popular. Freddie Martin and his orchestra with the year's 6th most popular song, Tonight We Love, on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS. And Happy New Year from Superior Water, Light, and Power Company, urging you to buy war savings bonds and stamps. Superior Water, Light, and Power Company is giving the New Year's first baby an electric bottle warmer. Whoa! Another gift. Boy, you mothers-to-be hang on for a few more hours. It'll be worth it.
Jack.
What?
I think Harriet's reminding you that things don't quite work that way.
When it's time, Jack.
Look at all this loot, Harriet. I mean, Tower... diamond shop is giving a 10-carat gold ring. Cedar Jewelry is giving war bonds to the first baby. Fort Hopkins store has a gift certificate and a baby book from Hadley's Opera House.
They're all very generous, Jack. That still doesn't mean these things can be delayed. You're just trying to be cute. Now be a good boy and play some music.
You'll have some of the boys in the service news coming up.
All good news, too. So many are home on furlough for the holidays.
That's real good news. All righty, then, good listeners. We're halfway through our countdown. Here's our fifth most popular song of 1942. None other than Vaughn Monroe and When the Lights Go On Again on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS. Indeed, good friends, a good thought to hold on to as we enter the new year. Maybe in 1943 we'll end the blackouts and let those lights shine again at night. Won't that be great? That's Vaughn Monroe with the number five song of 1942. And our community editor, Harriet Farig, is on hand with some important news about our boys in the service. Harriet?
Nothing personal, Jack, but I like it when Lewis introduces me. Where did he go?
You know old Lewis. He wants to make sure everything's just right for tonight. So he's making reservations calling around town.
He's so thoughtful. Well, Jack and listeners, just want to give a big welcome home to our men and women in the service who are home on furlough. Mr. and Mrs. Michael Farnady of Iron River are blessed to have their son Michael home from the Navy. He has some harrowing stories to tell, since he is one of the survivors of the sinking of the aircraft carrier USS Lexington in the Pacific. George Aho got time off from his Army duties to spend 15 days with his folks, Mr. and Mrs. Sam Aho in Ulu.
Aho. The Ahos of Ulu, close by, I know.
Jack. There was lots of rejoicing in Ulu. Walter Jarvis, Ed Cameranen, and Toivola Nevila also spent furloughs with their families in Ulu. And there were plenty of homecomings in Glidden, too. Sergeant Otto Kaufman spent the holidays with his mother. Private First Class Leroy Hallberg surprised his mother, Mrs. Yelmer Hallberg. There's so many more to be home. We just wish all of you a happy visit and safe return home soon, boys.
In fact, we'll dedicate this next number to our boys in town on furlough, the number 4 song of 1942 from Captain Glenn Miller and his orchestra, I Got a Girl in Kalamazoo. Oh, I sing so well on station KUWS.
She's a toast
of Kalamazoo.
Years have gone by.
My, how she grew.
I liked her looks when I carried her books
in Kalamazoo.
I'm gonna send a wire hopping on a flight.
Leaving today.
Am I dreaming? I can hear screaming.
Hiya, Mr. Jackson. Everything's okay. K-A-L-A-M-A-C-O. Oh, what a girl. A real pimperoo.
I'll make my bid for that freckle-faced kid I'm hurrying to.
I'm going to Michigan to see the sweetest girl
in Kalamazoo.
That's a fine number to kick your heels up for. All you men in the service, that's Captain Glenn Miller and his orchestra. Lou, what else do you have from your top stories of 1942?
You've got the top music, and I've got the top stories.
Indeed. We're a top team, old friend.
Harriet just talked about our boys that are home on furlough. Unfortunately, many more are in the war zones. They're right on the front lines.
That seems hard to imagine, you know. Fighting in jungles and or the African desert.
Many of these men could have gotten a deferral, but instead decided to enlist to fight for our freedoms. They stayed thrilled to the news that Native son General Douglas MacArthur was named commander of the Southeastern Pacific Theater. Dispatches say that MacArthur is in New Guinea directing the fighting there. The Janesville Tank Unit was one of the first from Wisconsin to see heavy combat. They fought heroically in the Philippines against overwhelming Japanese forces. The Janesville unit crushed a Japanese battalion February the 8th on the Bataan Peninsula, and many men were decorated. But gloom fell over Janesville when Bataan fell on April the 9th, followed by the surrender of Corregidor on May the 6th. Little has been heard about them since. And Milwaukee's youngest mayor ever, Carl Zeidler, secretly enlisted in the Navy. He was made lieutenant junior grade and given command of a gun crew defending merchant ships in the Pacific. And former Governor Phil La Follette is a captain in the Army Air Corps General Staff. Well, sadly, Jack, just a few days after Lieutenant Zeidler's ship was reported missing after a battle, October the 11th, nothing has been heard from the ship and the crew since.
1942 was a very hard year, Lou, with many of our men paying the ultimate price to preserve our country and our way of life. And it doesn't matter if the man is privileged or not. All are putting their lives on the line. Maybe that makes our third most popular song of 1942 appropriate here. Again, Captain Glenn Miller and his orchestra. And here's Serenade in Blue on Station KUWS. Sounds of Captain Glenn Miller and his orchestra. That's the third most popular song of 1942, Serenade in Blue. Good music, friends. Now, as we close the chapter of 1942 and turn to 1943, Zenith Dredge Company sees new goals to be reached. The fine spirit of cooperation between workers and companies make even higher levels of war production possible in the new year. Zenith Dredge wants to wish all our employees and friends a very happy new year. Thanks to the many contractors like Walker Jamar Company, Paul Stromquist and Sons, Arrowhead Electric, and Thompson Williams Company.
Not to put a damper on things, Jack, but I should remind you and the audience that tomorrow, January the 1st, is the beginning of the victory tax. Starting tomorrow, your employer will withhold 5% of your pay to help the war effort.
Well, nothing's too good for our boys in the service, Lou. If this gives them the best, then I say that's fine. And with the way they're rationing things nowadays, you can't spend your money anyway.
Well, that's our last big story of 1942, rationing. First was the shortage of coffee in May.
You can still only get one cup of coffee in restaurants.
Coffee rationing started in October. And who can forget no more whipping cream? That order, November the 25th.
I miss whipping cream.
Butter and meat have been hard to get since summer.
Thank goodness for Spam.
And then there was a 10-day orgy of liquor buying before November the 1st, when the new taxes kicked in.
Taxes on the liquor, that is.
Right. New liquor taxes, of course. And the big rush came November the 30th, the day before gas rationing began. People filled up tanks, cans, even their bathtubs.
I topped off my tank just before midnight. It came to 4 cents.
Someday we'll look back on this and smile, Jack.
I hope so. Maybe in 60 years. Thanks, Lou. On with the number two song of 1942. One of my favorites. Here's Cow Cow Boogie. Freddie Slack on the piano and Ella Mae Morse on the vocal on station KUWS, where music is never rationed.
Out on the plains, down near Santa Fe, I met a cowboy right in the range one day, and as he jogged along, I heard him singing a most peculiar cowboy song. It was a ditty he learned in the city. Come a tie, get along. Get hip, little doggies, get along. Better be on your way, get along. Get hip, little doggies, and he trucked him on down the old fairway, singing his cow cow boogie in the strangest way. Come a tie, come a tie, yip, tilly, aye. Singing his cowboy song. He's just too much. He's got a knocked out western accent with a Harlem touch. He was raised on local weed. He's what you call a swing half breed. Singing his cow cow boogie in the strangest way. Come a tie, come a tie, yip, tilly, aye.
No. Now, if that doesn't get you swinging, friends, that's Cow Cow Boogie by Ella Mae Morse on the Martin McKenna Show on Station KUWS. Hey, Lou, what's in store for the evening?
Well, you know, it may be wartime, and maybe that's all the more reason that people are kicking up their heels tonight.
Well, it's good to blow off a little steam and have some fun with friends.
Harriet would make it a nice threesome. Are you game, Harriet?
If you wouldn't mind being seen with a couple of big lugs.
My big bookends. Where to tonight, Lewis?
Well, I have some friends at the Eagles, and they've got a big dance starting at 9 o'clock tonight with dinner at 12:30. The tickets are $1.65, and we could make a night of it there.
Then we can't make the rounds.
I'm with Jack. There's a lot of people visiting who might be out tonight.
Right you are. Well, I'll have to come up with a plan then.
You've got until the end of the number one song of 1942, Lou. It's a good one, too, folks, making it a big year for Kay Kaiser. Here it is. Drum roll, please, Lou and Harriet. Oh, very good. The most popular song of the year is Jingle, Jangle, Jingle, and here it is on Station KUWS.
Yippee-yay, there'll be no wedding bells for today. I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle,
jingle, jangle,
as I go riding merrily along.
Jingle, jangle,
and they sing, oh, ain't you glad you're single?
Jingle, jangle,
and that song ain't so very far from wrong.
Jingle, jangle,
oh, Lily Bell,
oh, Lily Bell,
oh, Lily Bell,
oh, Lily Bell,
though I may have done some fooling, this is why I never fell. Cause I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle,
jingle, jangle,
as I go right merrily along.
Jingle, jangle,
they sing, oh, ain't you glad you're single?
Jingle, jangle,
and that song ain't so very far from wrong.
Jingle, jangle.
Popular song in Upper Wisconsin as judged by sales at Brayman's Music Store in Superior. That's Kay Kaiser and Jingle, Jangle, Jingle. That's a fun one, hey, Lou? Gets me in a pointy hat mood.
You do like those hats. So here's my plan. Start with the Wildwood Inn. No cover charge and a big floor show.
And noisemakers and pointy hats. That's the place to start, so we can wear those hats all night long.
Well, to each his own. Then we can head for the Kitchen Edgy Country Club, I made reservations.
They have good steaks, Jack, and I like their Chinese food, too.
Then we can find some quiet place after we usher in the new year. How about the Rex Tavern at 718 Tower?
Our buddy Elroy Biller keeps a nice, cozy place there.
That's just perfect, boys. First, I want to wish everyone a happy new year and a safe one for our men in the service.
Yes, if you're listening, soldier, we are grateful.
And we hope and pray for an early victory so you can come home, not on furlough, but come home to stay.
Well said, Harriet. Friends, thank you for joining us tonight. If you're out tonight, say hi to all the guys in pointy hats. If not, we'll see you next year, same time, same place on your radio dial. Until then, for Lou and Harriet, this is Jack McKenna saying goodbye to 1942 and happy 1943.
This is Radio Superior 1942, a weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson, with research by Sarah Dorman. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances provided by Kathy Loxo, Hal Katz, Peter Nordgren, Bill Stock, John Munson, Tom Martinson, and Ray Paulson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1932 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Your comments are welcome at 394-8530 or write to us at KUWS Radio, UW Superior, Superior, Wisconsin, 54880. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior 1942. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.